Father, thank you. Thank you for we can come together today. And thank you, Lord, that your presence is here with us. We just open ourselves up to you, Lord, to be used. Open ourselves up, Lord, to hear and to, Lord, receive your word. Because in your word, Lord, there is life and there is victory. In your word, Lord, we receive the strength that we need. In your word, Lord, we have whatever we need in our life, Lord, and you are provider to us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to just continue from last week. You know, we looked at how the word is like a mirror in which we see what the way we look in Jesus. See, that describes, the word describes us the way God sees us and wants us to become. And then, you know, those scriptures mention the fact that we often go away and forget what we look like in the mirror because we look at ourselves with all our limitations and all our the way we see ourselves. See, this is the things that we actually had to forget. See, we forget what we look in the mirror, and we end up, you know, instead forgetting what we look, you know, we should forget what we look ourselves so that we start looking at the mirror instead of looking at ourselves. And so we had to just sometime look somewhere else, not to our limitation, to the way we see ourselves, to our experiences and to our past. Our past doesn't need to determine our future and even our present. We can move and allow God and the Word of God to change us as we keep looking at it. And we have to understand that this is God's will and the God way that He predestined us to be. So this is, and this is for everyone that looks into the Word. And see what Jesus said, what Jesus is like, and what God says that we should look like. And that transformation takes place through the Word of God. You see, we are destined to conform with the image that we see in the Word that describes Jesus, but not just Jesus, describes us, the way we are, as we have been transformed in the new creation. See, the new creation makes all the difference because this is the way our spirit has become. And we had to line up our mind and our body with that. And the way we do that is given in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I think it's the last scripture I read last week. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See, this is by his mercy, because we really don't deserve that, but he has given it to us, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, it's not, our body is not to do whatever we feel like, want him to do, or what he feels like to do. It's to have you to present it to him, so that we can end up behaving and being like that image that is in the Word. Okay, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed to the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is, you know, the comfort, the way we are affected by the world and the environment we are in. Try to put us into a mold, into a way of doing, being, thinking. Because this is the pressure that we are exposed to. And we had to not be conformed to that. I mean, that means we had to take a position and reject that conformity and to become like the world. We had to take a position and we had to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means, you know, essentially we had to reprogram the way we see ourselves, the way we think, so that we are programmed and think the way God thinks. And this is something that we had to actually do ourselves. God is not going to do it. He did for what concerned our spirit, but now for our mind, we had to work on it. And this is our job, so that we are going to be, you see, when we start doing that, we are not anymore conformed to the environment and the world around us, but we are transformed the way we are inside in our spirit. So that what is in our spirit comes to come out of the spirit and go into our flesh and in our body and in our mind. So that we start acting and operating the way Jesus did. And it's not because we make an effort. See, not because, you know, and this is, you know, we can see that actually, if you look at the church in general in North America and in Europe and even in Australia, you know, this is, the direction is taking is just completely the opposite. There is a continuous conformation to the world. Christianity is shrinking because of this conformity that is accepted by believers about the ideas and values of the Bible, of the world, instead of receiving and appropriating what the Bible says about ourselves. This is the, you know, you can look at the physical evidences and the statistics today, and they show you only the problem, the surface problem. The shrinking is not the problem. The real problem is conformity to the ideas and idea and thoughts and values of the world. See, those things penetrates, you are exposed to them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And because of just osmosis, because of just exposure, you get influenced by these things and you start first tolerating them and say, oh, this is wrong. But after a while, you know, as Wigglesworth said, you know, people, you know, is before a generation, you know, tolerates certain things, the following generation embraces it. And this is what's happening slowly. Values, ideas, things that are really not godly have been accepted because there is a plan behind all that. See, the enemy tries to do everything he can to convince and to spread ideas and to penetrate even into believers. And unless we do something actively against that and we take a position, automatically he's taking over. And this is what's happening in some of the countries like, you know, North America, as I said, in Europe, started before. You know, in Europe started more than 100 years ago. In North America, you know, the evidence that became started about 50 years ago. But in some other countries, not that way. In the third world country, is not that way at all. Actually, Christianity is doing well. In China, you know, the underground church is doing well. And the reason is because it's persecuted. Because if it wouldn't be persecuted, they would lock off. They would lock off like the North American. It's all comfortable. And, you know, the Christianity has become, you know, the way it's preached sounds like the American dream. You know, let's make me money. That's not Christianity. So the idea is that we have to see, this is the way values, darkness, the enemy works into the church. Okay? But it's not everybody is affected that way. And the people that are not affected that way are the people that are in the Word. Because that's the source for different ideas, for different values. That's the only place you're going to get those values. This is why we need to spend time and read the Word and meditate on the Word and spend, you know, and allow the Word to affect our way we think, because that is going to produce the result in us and is going to transform us. And that transformation is this worm there that is used for that in the verse is metamorphosis, which is really the same thing that happened when Jesus was in the Mount of Transfiguration. You see, what was inside him became evident on the outside. You could see the light shine through him. When in your spirit, there is the same light. And we had to allow that light to come out. And before it's going to be just visible. There has to be already an effect on our behavior, our actions, in the way we think. And when those things that are negative, that are blocking it inside, are going to be removed, then automatically it's not a question of making an effort, is what is there is going to be visible because there is no hindrance for it to come out. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, the early church in 300 years spread like wildfire everywhere in the Roman Empire and beyond without all the equipment, the money, without money. They were just normal people, normal jobs, and they went around and they spread the gospel much better than today when they put millions of dollars wasted in stuff that is completely not going to make any difference. And we are shrinking instead of exploding. See, not even the power of the Roman Empire could stand it. After that, the Roman Empire came down because the values that were given there were just wrong values, worldly values. So that's what's happening now. I don't like to, this is a sign of the time we are in. I don't like to talk about this, the times we are in, because generally people take it in the negative. But actually, it's very positive. If you go to the Word of God and you see what the Word of God says, there is something to get excited about. Number one, because we know that finally things are at the place and the time are ripe for Jesus to come back. Okay? And, unless there is a reason to wait, he can come back. Okay? But there is still time for us to do what we need to do. And this is the thing that we have to focus on. Jesus gave us instruction very clear about what to do about this. And these instructions are very, we can apply immediately for ourselves and for the situation we are in. In Matthew 16, verse 11, he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." The leaven is nothing, he was talking symbolically. The leaven means the doctrines or the teachings or the ideas. Okay, the day is leaven because the leaven, in the old that time was considered as something that is corrupting. Actually, it's decaying. That's what leaven does. Produces a reaction, and so the thing's the case. Well, you're saying, beware of this effect of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which really translated in modern terms says, be careful or be aware of the legalists, the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, the liberals. Okay? Those are the two extremes that you have to watch. Okay? You have to be instead, go to the truth of the Word of God. See, the Word of God is truth, not what men make it of it. It's later on in verse 15 says, but, then he was probing on the disciples with him, trying to get something out of them, see where they are at in their spiritual, and was asking them questions. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." this is really the important thing that make the difference. So the Jesus said, in answer said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Marjona, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." You see, Jesus had not told us to them. Okay? He got that by revelation. Okay? The evils, you know, the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he got that by revelation. And Jesus said, you know, you are Peter, and you know, this is really what is important for you. That is what you need. This was revealed to you by the Father. You see, the secret for somebody to really have that relationship with God is to have that relationship, that revelation. Only when you get that revelation, you can really connect with Jesus the way he really is and know what the historical Jesus means nothing. Okay, we had to know him in the spirit, in our spirit. And so the only way to do that and to really have that level has to be by revelation. You had to know that you know that you know that it's not a question of coming somebody and giving you maybe, you know, a YouTube or some piece of junk that comes out in the internet and you believe that junk that you see instead of believing the word of God. You had to believe the truth. And the truth is only in the Word. Praise the Lord. So just the following verse says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You know, Jesus was playing with words here because Peter means stone in Roman, in Latin, and you know, rock is you know, uses similar to the stone, but it's a big rock. Peter means little stone. Rock is a big rock. So, you know, you are Peter, you are a little stone, but on this revelation, you know, great revelation that you got, I will build my church. It doesn't say that on you know, the organization that they put together, they will build my church. I didn't say, according to some denominations, you are going to build my church. I didn't say, you know, according to the way they're going to do it with worldly ways, that you're going to build my church. It says, I will build. He is the one that does the building. And he does the building as a result on an individual relationship that is established because we come to have that revelation in us, and with that revelation, we can connect with God in a way that otherwise is not possible to our mind. You see, it's that what makes the difference. And he said, you know, it didn't stop there. And the gates of AIDS or hell shall not prevail against it. So here he's saying that, you know, that evidently the church Jesus was talking about is not the church we saw around today. Because the gates of hell are certainly not just only prevailing, but actually, you know, the gates is defensive, it's not offensive. Okay? The gate is something that protects you. So the gates of hell protects hell. Well, hell is expanding, it's not need any protection, it's advancing. It should be the opposite. We should be able instead to advance against the gates of hell. I mean, take territory. Jesus' church will take territory, not be on the defensive. But that's to be easy, but cannot happen. If it's based on psychology, if it's based on organization, if it's based on other things, it's going to happen only if Jesus is the one ruling it, controlling it, and empowering him. That's the only way for it to work. And you know, and where actually is working is where that happens more, because there is not such much of an organization. Maybe not even that much money. You know, you don't need money to convert people. You need the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So you see, the rock is the revelation, okay? And Jesus' church is based on the revelation, not on organization. It was wherever the disciple went, it would spring up by itself, like wildfire, everywhere. There were problems, absolutely, because they're human inside it. You know, people had problems. They had to change, to grow, to be transformed. You know, and there is a lot of change to take place. But that doesn't matter. You see, the thing is the seed that is there, and the rule that is there is the right one. But Jesus didn't stop even there. You know, the thing I'm saying here, the bottom line, is that, you know, the church should not be apologetic and defensive. It should be on the offensive. Should be attacking darkness, not being politically correct. You had to express, you had to say the truth. Otherwise, how are they going to know that they're wrong? You have to take a position and be not apologetic about it. This is the truth. And it's that, you know, and we are backed up. I mean, he is behind us. See, we forget that sometimes. See, there are many promises. You know, we like to some promises because are selfish. I mean, when you hear, by your stripes you are healed. Well, yeah, this, everybody wants that promise. Okay? Because you benefit from it. Okay? But there are lots of other promises that we had to take in which we have no personal benefit except the fact that we are used by God to do his work. And those promises we had to take just as well as the other. You see, you can't pick up and choose what you're going to do. You had to take all the whole thing or nothing. When you take the whole thing, then you're going to see the results. Otherwise, you're not going to see the results, even if you're trying to really work hard to get some of the results that are just selfish, because you're fooling yourself. You are really not doing the work. You hear what I'm saying? So Jesus didn't stop there. You see, he continued just on the following verse. We tend to read the Bible by verses. I mean, we take one verse and we make all the theology on it, and we forget all the verses around. You know, we should just read the whole thing and make connect the whole one thing, one idea with the other, and just beyond what, you know, after what I finished saying, said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. See, after it says, you know, that we are going to be able, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail, he's going to give us the key to prevail. All right? And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. What is he talking about? That you go around binding things and losing things? They don't need to do that. You know, when something is wrong, you can say, stop in Jesus' name. I don't want that to happen anymore. When you see darkness spreading, you come against that darkness you're spreading, you say, no way. You exercise the authority that Jesus had, because his authority is in you now. Amen. See, believers have authority. Oh, I think yesterday I put on Facebook one quote from, who was there? I can't remember which past preacher, you know, says, you know, that the one who rules the world are the one that know how to pray. And know how to pray is not that they go there asking God to do things that he wants to do anyway, and he has promised to us. It's the one that impose the things that God said he wants to impose. See, he uses us to achieve his purposes. I remember, you know, Lester Sumrall. Anybody knows Lester Sumrall? He passed away, you know, maybe 10 years ago or something like that. He spreading, you know, help all over the world, you know, helping people in needs and whatever. But he knew different countries, a new different situation in people. You know, at 4 o'clock each morning, he would get up. And he had a big map in the church with all the country and all the region there, on, you know, right there, you know, like for the whole world. And he knew most of the leaders in all the countries because he had been there. And he would be there pointing his finger to the thing at 4 o'clock each morning and speaking against the wrong thing and speaking for the good things every morning. And I believe changing things in the world. I think, you know, he understood the authority that he had in Christ. And the same authority that he had, we have. And it's our responsibility to exercise that authority and to implement the things that God wants to do. If we would do that, darkness would not spread. You see, we could kick down the gates of hell. Praise the Lord. You know, this is what, you know, that's what all the Great Commission is about. You know, when Jesus said, you know, Matthew 28:18, you know, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples. I mean, you know, didn't say go and make church goers. You know, if they're just church goers, they don't last when the situation changes. The disciples are actually following his word. And so there is a difference. Instead of being influenced by the world around, just go and influence the world around them. That's what happened at the beginning. See, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I told you, I commanded you. So you see that part of that is not just to get them to come to church, you know, say the sinner's prayer, and it's got, the whole thing is done. It's much more than that. You had to teach them, you had to disciple them on a personal basis so they can grow in the position that they have and they do the same again. Hallelujah. Now, this is, you know, this is pretty simple. And it doesn't stop there even. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you see, it doesn't say, okay, now you go, you are on your own. She said, I'm behind you. I'm there with you. I'm going to back you up. I'm going to, you see, this is why it talks about in Mark, about the same things, you know, with signs following. He's going to supernaturally work behind us so that we can achieve what he sent us for and exercise his authority in a spiritual way, not in the physical way. We fight not against flesh and blood. We don't work, you know, we don't go around with placards trying to get things. That's political junk. We go in the power of the Spirit and get people converted and get people saved and get people discipled so that they become like us. Are you still there? Praise the Lord. But this is what God calls us to do. See, we have heaven's support to do this. But we had to believe it. I mean, if we look at the power of the darkness and we think that it's more powerful than us, well, we are wrong. The word says greater is the one is in you than one is in the world. I mean, do you believe that? So if you believe that, you had to act it out, not just believe and say, oh, yeah, I believe it, and doesn't do any good. You know, in John chapter 6, verse 28, the apostle said, you know, the disciples said, you know, what shall we do that we may do the work of God? You see, they were trying to follow him, but They didn't have much of an idea. See, but first of all, the disciples weren't even born again, weren't spirit-filled. Yet, they were doing more than most believers do today. In terms of results, in terms of impact, and some of everything. We should be a million times better because we got already inside us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, that not even the greatest prophet on the Old Testament can compare with somebody that is a child of the kingdom. Do you really believe that? I mean, you may, but, you know, people were preaching, you know, give me the anointing of Elijah, or double anointing. Well, I'm sorry. You know, it says that you are better. How many Holy Spirit do you need to get? But just believe it. You see, the problem is belief. We say we believe the Bible, but we don't believe the Bible because it doesn't show. And if we believe something, we are going to act according to what we believe. All right? Ouch. So we had to start really going back to square one, and say, what does it say? Now, I'm not going to do what everybody else does. I'm going to do what it says. Are you following me? So we had to go and read, and then do. I mean, you know, between the reading and the doing, there is accepting and there's a question of believing it. But once you have believed it, they're going to do it if you really believe it. Otherwise, you fool yourself. What does it say? If you are not a doer of the word, you are deceiving yourself. That's the same thing I said. Are you following me? See, this is, you know, the message is pretty clear. If we don't do what I'm saying now, we get the results that we see around us. Simple as that. So it's time, you know, to wake up to the reality of what the situation is and to start actually taking a position within ourselves, for ourselves, and a position toward the whole environment around us to stop the things that should not be happening. And we do it now by taking authority. You see, by the words of our mouth. You know, when Jesus is going to come back, this is the way things are going to be ruled. But we can start doing it before. You see, the people that really understand, they're going to start implementing the things so that they can be at the time when it's needed, they're ready. See, we are in training. This is a training ground. It's not just a question of taking a vacation here. This is our school. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we should really learn, okay, that, you said in other words, you know, what I said now, my words, you know, I'm going to say the way Jesus said it. You know, Jesus answered to them, you know, them asking, and what shall we do that we may do the work of God? And then Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. See, I mean, when we believe, it's not that, it doesn't say, you know, because you went to a seminary that you're going to do the work of God. It doesn't say that. It says, you believe him we sent. So you believe what he said, you believe his word, and you start implementing his word in your life. You know, we should, the situation is now, okay? We are captive, just the same as Israel was captive in Egypt. Okay? They were slaved by, you know, and pushed around by the world around them. And God's desire was to set them free. And he sent Moses, anointed to do that. And Moses was responding to the call that God had given him and went around and did the things. But you see, we should learn from Israel. Because they went around, you know, took them 40 years to get to the promised land and were complaining all the time. You took us here in the desert and we do to die in this place. And they tick off God very much. Okay? That's the way to really get God upset. See, God was supernaturally giving manna to eat, and they were complaining about this food is always the same. See, the Bible says that we should look at them and learn from them because that there was an example for us. So their example today applies 100% because we are in a very similar situation. And few voices speak up against what's happening. And we should, you know, we believers should respond to that and start, instead of dragging our feet, get into that. Start believing what the word says. Start believing the promises of God. And not just the promises that we want for ourselves, but the promises of God that are in general applies to the world around us. We should change the world. We should change the environment and bring light and bring truth and bring freedom through the word of God, because that's the only way to have freedom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, John, 1 John 3:8 says, you know, that the purpose the Son of God was manifested was to destroy the works of the devil. I mean, we have to look around. See, we are called to his ministry. He's called to do the same thing that he did and even greater works. That's what he said. Because he's gone to the Father. Is he going to the Father? Is he? Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. So if he's gone to the Father, then what he said would happen, it should be happened. He's here for us now. And so, you know, the same purpose that he had in the ministry is our purpose today, and is to destroy the works of the devil. It's not to be there defending ourselves and closing ourselves inside the church because to make sure that nobody is going to be rejecting us. Okay? We had to go out. Church is not this. Church is you and you and you. All right? Each person you go around, you are the church. And you are Jesus' body today. That's what it's called. That's another way of calling church. You know, there are different names that are used for different purposes to demonstrate different things about it. You know, it's called church, which means ecclesia, means called out on the world. So the implication is that should be separated, number one. And, you know, it's called the body of Christ because we are His incarnation today. His spirit is in us today. And so he works through us today because it's just, and we should be working like he did work. Are you following me? So our work is to destroy the works of the devil. So look around, see the things that you know that are the works of the devil and start coming against and saying stop. Take authority in the spirit. We don't do things in the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal. We fight against not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. When people get set free, they're going to be able to see the truth. But we have to see it first. Otherwise, what can we can do anything? Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is battle time. Or if you want to use a more religious term, this is prayer time. But it's the same thing. But it's not the prayer, say, please God, do something. Because he has done it already. You see, let me say, just close with this. You know, God's promises. If I promise you something, do you need to ask me 10,000 times? Otherwise, you know, if you had to ask me 10,000 times for the same thing, my promise wasn't very good. The fact is often we do exactly that. We promise stuff and we really don't mean it. But God is not a man that he should lie. If he promised, he means it. And he has done it. The only thing for us to do is to receive it. That means to believe it and to start acting like it. Are you still here? Amen. I think, you know, one of the ways, so really, is what we say. First, you take a position inside. But when you say with your mouth, it makes the difference. So we should start making some confession here. Amen? All right. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, today, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us to do something there, to use us, to achieve your purposes. And we thank you, Lord, that we are called out to do your work today. And we take a position for what is right, for what is good, for what is light, what comes from you, what is in the word. They give us the power to implement your will on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, we pray for that and believe that through us, we can achieve it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.